Well, I desire an interest in your prayers this evening. I desire that the Lord would help us to be able to bring out the thoughts that He has laid on our heart. I would like to look at a very familiar passage of Scripture. It's read often at this time of year, but I believe it has a powerful message and a wonderful message that the Lord has for both the saved and the unsaved alike. And it's found in Luke, the first chapter. In Luke, the first chapter, in the 26th verse, I'll start reading. It says, "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth. The virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." You know, this is a wonderful passage of Scripture, and as I said, it's very familiar. It's read a lot at this time of the year. But when I look at this, there are some points in this Scripture that I would like for us to get a hold of, but I'll be honest with you, I don't think there's any way that I can touch on all the points that I would love to be able to convey from this Scripture this evening. But I'd like to look at the first point here in this 28th verse, and I'd like for you to notice this. It says, "And the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women." Now, I'd like for us to notice what he said. He said, "Thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee." Now, dear ones, that is a wonderful and a powerful message. And I would that God could say that to every one of us here this evening. Because this is something that is precious, to have the God of heaven send his angel down and give you a message like this. I wonder this evening, dear ones, if Mary really, truly realized the significance, the importance of the words that the angel said. He said here, "Thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee." Now, I'd like for us to think about that for just a little bit. Mary was about to learn that she was being chosen by God to bring forth the message of hope and salvation to a lost world. Now, God had promised, ever since the beginning of time, He had planned and promised to send His Son into this world to deliver man from this awful bondage of sin that is bringing heartache and trouble upon mankind. And, dear ones, this was not a spur-of-the-moment plan. It was not a last-ditch effort that God decided before He sent His angel down to talk to Mary and just say, you know, we got to do something. This world is getting awful, and so we're going to have to do something, and I want you to go down, and I want you to choose. This was not that kind of a plan. Dear ones, this plan, like everything else in God's creation, was wonderfully thought out and crafted in the great mind of God from the very beginning of time. And I believe this is important for you and I to get a hold of, because, dear ones, it reveals the will and intent of God for you and I and for mankind. And so I want us to get a hold of this, and I want to dwell on this, the intent of God, for a little while, because not only does it reveal His will to us, but, dear ones, it also takes And it reveals the importance of the role that Mary filled. And that comes right down to you and I today as well. And the role that God wants you and I to fill in this world. Now, I want you to think about God. Dear ones, God is all wise. And when God was musing on His creation, when He was thinking about this wonderful plan of creation that He was going to create, God recognized that there would be a need for healing, for restoration, and for transformation for His creation. God recognized that there was also the potential that you and I would be get hurt. For example, have you ever taken and gotten a paper cut? It hurts, doesn't it? It's just a little thing, but it can hurt. Now, that doesn't mean that the paper is somehow bad and that we shouldn't have paper, because paper is a blessing to us, isn't it? But it has the potential to hurt us. Have you ever taken and gone for a walk and you slipped and fall? Maybe on ice, maybe on water, maybe a slick surface. It can hurt, can it? Do you know there are people that have fallen and hit their head and it was fatal? Now, that does not mean that we should not walk. Walking is a blessing, isn't it? But it has the potential to hurt you. Have you ever taken and bumped your head on something? You'd be working on something and you raise up and you know, oh, I forgot that was there. Or maybe you didn't even know it. It hurts. Do you know, dear ones, it's not that the thing that you bumped your head on is evil. It's bad. It shouldn't be, and we need to get rid of it. But it has the potential to hurt you, doesn't it? Have you ever eaten anything and it made you sick? Maybe you ate too much. That's easy to do around holidays, isn't it? Or maybe it's just something that you didn't agree with you. Does that mean that we should never eat again? Do you know, dear ones, you can't live without eating? So eating is a good thing, isn't it? Dear ones, what I want us to understand is that God, in His great wisdom and understanding, He knew that there was the potential for these things to happen. And so when He created this world, God created it with a plan to be able to provide healing, to provide restoration, to provide transformation for His creation. That's the wisdom of God. And so, dear ones, He knew there would be times where some of us would get paper cuts. Some of us would get sick. Some of us would break a bone or something would happen. And so God, in His wisdom, created a plan to bring about healing, restoration, and transformation. For example, when you cut your finger, what happens? It bleeds, doesn't it? Do you know what God did with that blood? He created within the blood properties that will cause that blood to clot so that you don't bleed out. If He didn't do that, do you know what would happen? You could get a cut and that blood, the life blood, would just flow right out of you and you would die. You say, well, Brother Curtis, I wouldn't let that happen. I'd hold it. What are you going to do when you turn it loose? If it didn't clot, you see, it's just going to start bleeding again. What happens if you passed out? It just bleed all out. Do you see what I'm saying, dear ones? God, in His wisdom, from the very foundation of the world, recognized that there was a need for healing, for restoration, and for transformation with His creation. And so God took, and when you look at this, God had things that He designed within man to be able to take care of that. He recognized it's just the way of life. And so when you look at this, God took and He planned for all of this. For example, when you take and you look at the things that God has, and you look at what happens, when you get that cut, and when those things happen, the paper cuts, the falls, you get sick, when those things happen, was it that God intended for that to happen? Did God want us to get hurt? No. God didn't do that. But God recognized, dear ones, that it is nearly impossible for you and I to go through life without getting hurt. Because he recognized that there are many things that have the potential to hurt us, including, dear ones, those things that God intended and designed for our welfare, for our good. He intended that to be a blessing. And so God, when he prepared this plan of creation, he prepared things to be able to deal with that. For example, I want to think about something that God designed and intended for our blessing. Trees. Do you know God intended for trees to be a blessing for us? Just look around here. All the wood that the Lord provided for us to build our homes, to build chapels, to build these pews, to build furniture. Do you know God intended for trees to be a blessing to you and I? Do you know that he built, created those? They provide shade. If you live in Oklahoma and it's 100 degrees plus outside, do you know it's a wonderful blessing to be able to walk over under the shade and get out of the direct heat of the sun? Do you know God intended for that to be when he created those? God created the trees to produce fruits and nuts and all kinds of things. That's a blessing to mankind. Do you know he also created them for our pleasure? What did he say in the beginning? He said when he placed man in the garden and he created every tree that was what? Good for food. And that was what? It was pleasant to look on. Do you see, God created all these things for our benefit. But I want to ask you, have you ever gotten a splinter? It hurts, doesn't it? You get a splinter under your finger, in your finger, and I'm going to tell you, it hurts. And it'll sit there and it'll fester and it can get infected. It can take and cause blood poisoning and it can kill you. Now, did God intend for us to get a splinter? Do you see where I'm going at with this, dear ones? Did God intend for us to get that splinter? No. But, dear ones, God in his great wisdom and understanding, from the very beginning of time, he created within the body things to help with that. Do you know there are properties within our body that when you get a splinter or you get a cut or you get something that could cause infection, there's things that God designed within this body that will produce healing, that will take and isolate that? I've had splinters get in my hand and in my finger, and I didn't know they were there. They were so small. But pretty soon I begin to see it, and it begins to get it just wraps that with something. And next thing you know, it swells up, and then I can recognize it, and I can pop it, and I can take it out. Do you see, God, in his wisdom, knew that those things would happen. And so not only did he create those things, but God also created other properties within the body that could produce healing, restoration, and transformation. You know, it's no wonder that the psalmist said, I want to look at that. There's a scripture in Psalms, the 139th chapter of Psalms, and 14. He said, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. You know, dear ones, when you consider it, it's really amazing what God thought of and what he designed for man in the very beginning of time. I tell you, the more I recognize what all God did, I am in awe of the wisdom and the might of God. That he thought of this all the way back there. Before he ever created you and I, God thought about these things. And you know, dear ones, God did the same with all of his creation. He didn't just do it with man. He did it with all of his creation. He knew, dear ones, that for you and I to live here in this earth, there would need to be a plan for healing, for restoration and transformation for this earth as well. Do you know God knew that? For example, let me ask you, how much trash do you create in a day? Sometimes we're pretty trashy people, aren't we? You know, it's almost impossible for you to live without generating some kind of trash or waste. Even if you took and moved out and lived off the grid like some would like for us all to do, Do you know it's impossible for you to live without creating some type of waste? And you know, dear ones, that God, in his great wisdom and understanding, recognized that. And so he designed this earth to be able to bring forth healing, restoration, and transformation for this earth. When you look at these things and you look at what happens, dear ones, God has a plan. I want to look at the forest. Do you know God created the forest and it's beautiful? But what happens when there's a windstorm, or there's a tornado, or there's a fire, or there's a large insect infestation that sweeps through a beautiful forest and it just kills all those trees and they're just crumpled in big piles? What happens? Do you know there's a process that begins to take place? Those trees begin to rot, do they not? They decay. Insects begin to eat on those. And then animals come and they claw those trees apart and they get those insects. And then something else comes along and eats the animals. Do you see it's all part of God's plan? Do you know that when that wood begins to rot and decay, what it does? It begins to provide a fertilizer for the ground. And that promotes what? Grasses and seedlings. And it's not very long that you take and you look out there where that forest was and that fire came through, and all of a sudden there's grass and there's meadows and it's transformed into something totally different. And as time goes on, those seedlings begin to come up. And then it's not very long and you look out there and there's a beautiful forest once again. Do you know, dear ones, that was the plan of God? Do you know, dear ones, God never intended for when those trees and that storm come through and they're just a pile of rubble and it just looks terrible. Do you know God never intended for those things to remain in that state forever? His plan was to bring about restoration. His plan was to bring about healing to this earth. His plan was to transform those things that looked terrible and that seemed of no value, and to transform those and to make them into something wonderful. Dear ones, that was the plan of God. And he did this. And I want us to recognize that God did this from the very beginning of time. This wasn't something, he said, oh, there's a fire. Now what am I going to do? God, in his wisdom, planned this from the very beginning. And so he saw this, and he did the same with all of his creation. I mentioned trash. What happens to the trash that you generate? Do you just take it out and set it in the yard and just let it sit there as a memorial from now on? Some people do, don't they? And you can see it. But you know that trash goes to the landfill, and then what happens? It's just there as a memorial now from now on? No, there's a process that begins to happen. It begins to deteriorate, and it begins to transform into something that God intended to be good. I had some people there at work, and they were invited out to the landfill there at home. And there's a couple ladies there, and they went out and they came back and they were just telling me, wow, I never understood. I never knew it was so interesting at a dump. And I said, really? And they got to telling me this and that and all the things that were happening. And they were telling me about how that in this dump, they've got these pipes down into the ground and they're pulling out so much natural gas from all of this where this trash is just deteriorating, and it's producing this. And they said they've got generators running. It is powering everything that they've got out there. And even the neighbors in the community, they're providing them free power. And I said, wow. Do you know why? Because God, in his wisdom, he had a plan to deal with these things. Dear ones, where do we get coal and natural gas and oil and all these other minerals? It happens because the creation of God begins to take something that seems to be of no value, of just waste, and it begins to transform it into something that God has that he wants to be a blessing to mankind. Do you know, dear ones, when I think about this, I think, Lord, what would this world be like had you not thought about that? Can you imagine what it would be like, dear ones, if God had never planned for any of this? Do you know that trash that Adam and Eve left would still be here on the earth? You say, well, the flood would have taken care of that. What about Abraham? What about all these others? Can you imagine going out and looking? This world would be such a mess. It would be so disgusting to look at all this trash. But dear ones, what I want to reinforce in our minds is that the great God of heaven had a plan to deal with all that. It wasn't by mistake. When he formulated this plan of creation in his mind, God created a wonderful plan of healing, of restoration and transformation for everything in his creation. And so when you look at this, dear ones, this is why God said, when you look over there in Genesis, the first chapter, in Genesis, the first chapter, in the 31st verse, it says, and God saw everything that he made, and behold, it was all right. That's not what it says, is it? He said it was very good. Dear ones, our God is all wise. I'm going to say it again. Our God is all wise. He doesn't do like mankind and, well, let's create it and see what happens. God, when he looked at all of this, he planned it every detail out. And dear ones, I'm going to tell you, God has a plan for every contingency in our lives. Do you believe that? You know, there's a lot of people that struggle with things like that. We're living in a world that's filled with doubt and unbelief. But I'm going to tell you, there's not a thing that can happen in your life but what God, in his great wisdom, already had a plan to deal with that. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, that gives me a confidence and a reassurance. That gives me peace that in the times of trouble and things, and I'm like, I don't know what to do, I go back to the wisdom of my God. He's got a plan to be able to deal with this. And dear ones, if you look at this, I said God did this for everything. I want you to think about water. Water's a good thing, isn't it? But I want you to think about all the ways that God had to purify our water. Who would have thought it? Water is something that's essential, isn't it? Can you imagine, dear ones? Think about this. When you go wash your hands, you're out working in the garden or the flower bed or working on the car, and you come in and your hands are dirty, and you stick them under that faucet of that pure water coming out, and you wash them, and what happens to that water? It's dirty. It's contaminated. How would you like to have to drink the water that you wash your clothes in? Or your dishes? Or your car? Dear ones, can you imagine what it would be like had God not thought of this at the very beginning of creation? Do you know the water that Adam and Eve took a bath in would still be contaminated today? Can you imagine the filth and the stink in our world had God not thought about this? But God, in his wisdom, did. Dear ones, what I want us to get a hold of this evening is that our God is all wise. And dear ones, he had a plan to deal with every one of these things. And the reason I emphasize this tonight is because I want you to know that same thing applies spiritually. Dear ones, God has a plan for every aspect of our lives. God knew that when he created mankind, that there was the potential for things to happen. He knew that there was the potential for man to be lost. He knew that there was the potential for you and I to be hurt. Why? Because, dear ones, almost everything that there is has the potential to hurt us. And so God, in his wisdom, recognized that there was the potential for you and I to be hurt. If you look over in Luke, the 17th chapter, in Luke, the 17th chapter, in the first verse, Jesus told his disciples, he said, it is impossible, but that offenses will come. Have you ever been offended? Have you ever been hurt? Do you know there's a reason for that? Why did God say it's impossible but that offenses will come? Why did he say it's going to be impossible but that you and I... Did he intend for that to happen? No. Dear ones, God, first of all, recognized that there are so many things that have the potential to hurt us spiritually and emotionally. He recognized that, but he also recognized something else. He recognized, as he said over there in John 10 and 10, the thief cometh not but for to do what? To steal, to kill, and to destroy. Dear ones, the enemy of our souls will take everything that God designed to be a blessing to you and I and use it to harm us if he can. That's his purpose. He will take everything that he can and use that to defile us if he can, because that's his purpose. His purpose is to steal, to kill, and destroy. And so Jesus told them there, he said, the thief cometh not but to do this. Dear ones, Satan has a plan to destroy your life. And when God looked at this, God recognized that there was the potential for things to hurt you and me, including the crown jewel of his creation, and that's mankind. Do you know, it's one thing to get a splinter in your finger, but I'm going to tell you, some of the deepest hurts that you can have is from people. These are hurts that is hard to deal with. And God knew that there was a potential for that. Was it that God intended that to happen? No. God never intended that to happen. But dear ones, sin is a tool that the enemy uses to defile and to corrupt everything that is good. And so Satan is looking for every opportunity that he can to use it to defile anything that's good, to harm and to hurt every one of us. I don't have to this evening tell you what sin is. You know what it is. It's found in the scriptures. You'll find in James 4 and 17, 1 John 3 and 4, it talks about it. But dear ones, it's what happened to Adam and Eve when they willfully disobeyed the commands of God. And then sin did what? It brought trouble. It brought heartache. It brought pain. It brought agony into the lives of mankind. Was it that God intended for that to happen? No. God never intended for that to happen. But dear ones, God in his great love and wisdom recognized that there was the potential for this. He recognized, dear ones, that this could happen. And so God, in his wisdom, when he created mankind, he created this plan of healing and restoration, of transformation for the life of individuals. Dear ones, God also knew that if man chose to go this way, if man chose to go down a path of disobedience, of saying, no, I'm not going to obey. I'm not going to do this. I'm going to choose my own way, just like a child. Do you know you could take and that child be headed to the stove and there's a pan of boiling water on there, and you can say, don't touch that. You can plead with it, please don't touch that. It will hurt you. And that child can just say, I'm going to do it. You know what happens? That boiling water comes down. And what does it do? It can permanently scar that child. Is it that the parent intended for that to happen when they put that water on there? No. But you see, that child has a choice. And so when it does that, it forever changes what God intended for its life. And you see, that's what man does. When man disobeys God, he changes the whole trajectory, to the whole path, I'll put it that way, that God has for mankind. The blessings, the peace, the joy, the happiness, all the things that God designed for you and I to have. And he's saying, this is what I want you to have. But when man chooses his own path and he goes his own way, what happens? It changes all of that. But you know, this is the thing, dear ones. God recognized the potential for that. And so, from the very beginning of time, God put in His plan, this plan of healing, of redemption, of restoration, of transformation. Do you know, dear ones, God never intended for you and I to remain in a state of sin? God never intended for you and I to get to the place where we're scarred forever and there's no hope in our lives. God recognized this is a potential, but God had a plan to deal with that. I think about the scripture there in Revelations. In Revelations, the 13th chapter and the 8th verse, it refers here, it says, the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. Dear ones, I'm going to tell you, the enemy is convincing souls today there is no hope. He is convincing many people that God, I've made this mess and there's no hope for me. But I hope and pray tonight that you and I can get a hold of this precious truth. That God, just like with everything else in His creation, God had a plan that provides for healing, for restoration, and transformation in your life and mine. Dear ones, I don't know. I mean, there's not a lot of people here tonight. But if you're here or if you're listening online, and the enemy has tried to convince you there's no hope for you or for your situation, I want you to know it's a lie of the enemy. It is a lie of the enemy. God never intended for you and I to stay in a place of hopelessness and despair. God never intended for you and I to be lost or to be bound by sin forever. That was not His plan. God, in His great love and wisdom, when He saw this potential, He planned for His Son to come into this world to die for our sins. Do you know, dear ones, that's why we're celebrating what Christmas is? Because this is the most wonderful gift that mankind could ever receive. And dear ones, God wanted you and I to know that if we went down that path of destruction, that there's hope for our souls. Do you know, just like He never intended for those trees to pile up out there or that trash to pile up out there and be an eyesore forevermore, God never intended for you or for me to be in a state of sin, of hopelessness and despair, for our life to be wrecked by sin, for everybody to look on us for the rest of our life and say there's no hope for that person. God never intended that. That is why, dear ones, we have this wonderful plan of salvation. That's why Christmas, when we celebrate it, dear ones, it's not just another holiday. This is the best gift that God could ever give to mankind. I think about what He said there. When the enemy takes and he tries to tell you there's no hope, what did Jesus say in John 10 and 10? The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. That's His purpose. But He didn't stop. He said, but I am come that you might have what? Life. A life that's filled with sin. A life that's filled with heartache and bitterness and there's no hope. He said that you might have life and that you might have it everlasting. Oh, dear ones, this is what God has. I told you I don't have time to go through all of this. There is so much more that God has in this. But dear ones, I want you to know God has this for every one of us. And He has this plan of salvation. I think about what Peter said over there in 2 Peter 3 and 9. He said, God is not slack concerning us. But He's what? Long-suffering. Why? Because it's not His will that any should perish. Do you know, dear ones, this is the plan of God. And what I want us to get in our mind is when the enemy tells you, whether it's sin, whether it's some situation in your life, and you just say, there's no hope. I just cannot be delivered from these temptations. I cannot be delivered from these fears. I cannot be delivered from pornography or whatever it is. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, Christ came to give you and I hope. He came to give you and I power to be able to reign over all of these things. And he said it was not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Dear ones, this is the plan of God for your life. This is what we celebrate Christmas for, because of this wonderful gift. But I'm going to tell you something. It's up to you and I to receive it. I want to go on in what he said there in Peter. He said in this 10th verse, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth and all the works that are in shall be burned up. Do you know there's a time coming like that? God knew that also. And he took and he gave us this plan that you and I would not have to face eternity lost forever because of his great love for you and I. Oh, dear ones, can you get a picture of the wisdom of the mercy and the love of our God? This didn't just happen. This was formulated. This marvelous plan was formulated in the great mind of God before he ever created you and I. I'm going to tell you what that tells me. That tells me that it is not God's intention for one of us to be lost. And you know, dear ones, if you can get a hold of that in your heart and mind this evening, that will give you hope when there is no other hope. That will give you strength where there is no other strength. And when the enemy comes in and tries to paint a picture and tell you, you're just going to be this way from now on, I want to point you back to this birth. This wonderful gift that Christ gave to us, that God gave to us through his son Christ. And he did it because in the very beginning of time, he knew there were things that have the potential to hurt us deeply. There were things that had the potential to destroy us forevermore. And so God said, no, I'm not going to let that happen. I'm going to include in my plan this wonderful plan of healing, of restoration and transformation. Dear ones, God wants you and I to be transformed. What did the scripture say? That our minds not be conformed to this world, but that we be transformed. Do you know that's part of this plan that God had? Do you know, dear ones, when you get in a place and sin has filled your heart and life and your mind and your conscience and all these things are filled with awful things, and the enemy comes in and he says, you're such a failure. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, you don't have to remain that the rest of your life. When your mind is filled with evil things, you don't have to go through life with those things haunting you from now on. You can take because of this wonderful plan, and your mind can be transformed. It don't have to be conformed to this earth. It can be changed to where you can now think upon. You can meditate upon the wonderful plan of God. Oh, dear ones, I wish I had more time to go on with this, but I'm going to tell you, this plan had something even more to go with it. God has something for you and I, every one of us. But I don't have time to do justice to it, so I'm going to stop. But dear ones, I want you to know, God in his great wisdom, he formulated this for you. For you. For you and for me. From the very beginning of time. That means, dear ones, we don't have to go through life hopeless. Because of this wonderful gift that God has given to us. May we, as we celebrate Christmas and as we look at this time of year, may we have a greater appreciation for the wisdom, for the love, and for the mercy of God. Appreciate your attention.